Once again, welcome to another Writer's Bookshelf, the Writer's Bookshelf podcast brought to you by the Gingerlicious Company. And yes, I am still Mr. David Driver. Well, welcome wherever you are around the world. First and foremost, and always top of the list, let's go across the pond. Let's welcome all the lovely people in the USA, Virginia, Maryland, and Colorado, all these lovely people that keep downloading and listening, and hello Canada, brilliant stuff indeed. Once again, hello to the Czech Republic. We've recently, as some of you may know, had a fantastic first visit to the brilliant, gorgeous, beautiful city of Prague, and people are listening in the Czech Republic and moving very near to home. All the people around Silsden, Keighley, Bradford, Leeds that download, and of course the rest of England and Scotland, Ireland and Wales. In fact, Wales, we had a few listeners. Perhaps we have or I have upset them. I can't think why. We've had a few listeners for a few downloads in Wales, but not recently. Maybe it's not tickling your fancy. Okay, the main event, if you like, the main story, the main reading this evening, or I say it again, don't I? I always say it this evening, and it's not. I think I said on my last podcast, good evening, and it was the afternoon or something like that. It is roundabout, I'll be honest with you. It's roundabout lunchtime. I'm recording. It's finally stopped raining. I've cursed it again. I think I said, on the last podcast, it was raining, and then goodness me, the day after I recorded it, I was on a trip to I drove up to Lancaster, and if you don't know where that is, it's about a good hour 20 minutes from Silsden to Lancaster, through quite sort of a few A roads and a few country tracks, if you like. And it did nothing but rain, and people were saying, "I really wish it would stop raining." But as I record this next episode, it's got a little bit of blue sky, and it's not raining. So fingers crossed. And just another complete tangent, which I seem to go off. For those that are connected on the Poets Pasture page, I've still got the bench. The bench hasn't gone into the Poets Pasture. It's just sort of there, it's stuck there, and every time I want to finish painting, it's raining, I need it outside, I need to get it finished, I can't do it. Come on, rain, disappear. Okay, the main event for this episode will be one of my short stories called Singles Club. The odd little bit of language in there, and sexual content or suggestion, shall we say. So if you don't like that, maybe you don't want to listen, but it's only a little bit mild, don't worry. I'm going to kick off with a few poems, and the reason why, I found a couple. I've just been sort of having a little bit of a tidy up in the been tidying up in the studio, and I found a couple of poems which I don't think I've shared, and I just want to air them. This first one, I made a little bit of a bloop, and for people that are on the open mic circuit, it doesn't matter how sort of seasoned you are. If you like, you could be, you know, performing on the open mic, and if you know what I'm talking about, people write poetry, brilliant. Poetry is for reading. You could be sat in your own living room, the comfort of your own company, and you're reading poetry. You can perform poetry on the open mic, and some people read from the page, or some people read from a laptop or a mobile phone, and I don't like sort of doing that. I like to perform it to the best of my ability, and I do have a number of poems in my mind. You sort of get them in there, you remember them, and I suppose people will admit, or some people might not, some are probably perform better than others. You do remember ones better than others, and obviously I spend quite a bit of time behind the microphone and do a little bit of comparing round and about, but we all make bloops, a little bit of mistakes, and I got lost last night, I shared a poem of it. I've started performing one again called Solve It, and it's all about the it's all about world, so world headlines, news headlines, if you like. I penned it around about 2.5-3 years ago, and it's still relevant today, so I like doing that one. And it is quite a lengthy one, and I have quite a number of poems, as I've said, in my head. I'd been to a few sort of gigs and doing 2, 3, 4 poems, and obviously get a bit more time if you're sort of headlining and that sort of thing. And for some other own reason, I thought I would perform, you know, a new one, which is called Tea. It's a fairly recent one, obviously about a drink of tea. And when I say that I messed up, I didn't, but I did. What are you talking about, David? Well, I always learn some poems just come in your head, and some poems you sort of go on a journey and you know the line, what comes after on the next sort of verse and such like. And I started, and I got down to, I did the first couple of verses or stanzas, and I thought in my head I'd done it wrong, and I hadn't, and I'm going to have to sort of start again, and I don't like wearing my glasses, but I'm going to go back. It was up at the Wordarium at Lancaster, so if anybody's listening, I do apologise. Well, I got it right anyway. It's only me that sort of beats myself up, because everyone said, you know, it's good, and they enjoyed it, but I just like to get it right first time. But I will be performing that again, so don't worry if you tuned in excuse me, if you tuned in and or downloading, whatever, and you are an open micer, no one is perfect. It's going to take a drink of coffee. Don't worry, the cough hasn't come back. It's just clear my throat a little bit. So I'm going to perform Tea. The good Mrs. Driver loves a nice drink of tea. And I might change. I'm just going to read it out, just as a because it was last night, you see, and now it's just in my mind at the moment, still beating myself up. I'm going to read it out. I might just slightly change it, see what you think. It goes like this. Tea. Just a cup of tea. But no. Not just a cup of tea. Not any old cup of tea. It's a cuppa. It's my cuppa. My cup of tea. In a mug. My favourite tea mug. Why call it a cup of tea? Oh, silly me. It tastes so good, refreshes me. Warm, relaxing, makes a happy me. Hands cupping. Cupping a mug of tea. What's missing? I know. Let's make it 3. Biscuits, cake, chocolate, a slice of toast? Oh, which one do I long for the most? Oh, don't you worry, my mug, because we'll just sit here and hug. 2's the best company, 3 is a crowd, and I have vowed to sit in my comfy chair, drink tea, chill out and stare at the clouds and the sky, people that walk by, birds that perch and sing, and birds that suddenly fly, trees that sway, cats who play, and empty crisp packets which simply blow away. Joggers in Lycra are struggling to start Nissan Micra, walkers with AirPods, late for school parents and children at odds. Retired mates loaded up cars with bank lunches and fishing rods. A book, a magazine, a dirty window gets a chamois leather clean. Tetley's, Yorkshire, PG tips, lost in dreams, soothing sips. Me and a cuppa and me, in my favourite mug, a lovely drink of tea. Thank you. I've cracked that one, haven't I? Like an egg. Brilliant stuff indeed. Okay, I'm going to share these two and then we'll go to the story. this one's called the Copper Man. If you're on Facebook or you're on any of my social media, I've built like a little, well, not a little, it's about 5 foot tall, to be honest, 5.5 foot tall, and like a copper robot, Copper Man. So This is it's an inspiration if I'm doing any workshops in schools or round and about, and the driving force behind this one is sort of when the old saying, or the saying goes, don't be yourself, be something else, strive to be something different. And if you take a piece of copper ore, it might just end up being a copper pipe or a copper wire or a copper kettle. You never know. So there's a hidden message, through the poem. And let's see what you think. The Copper Man. Mined by men as copper ore, he wanted life. He wanted more. I may be malleable and, of course, ductile, but I intend to stay here for only a short while. Longevity over conductivity. Being a coin in a pocket is certainly not for me. Can't bear the thought of arthritic jewellery. Make a name for yourself, be on the map. Not regarded as cash in the pocket, waiting in a bucket of scrap. Show some metal, don't sit around like a copper kettle. Pursue your desire, stoke up the fire. Why be stretched out like an electrical wire? Be resistant to negative corrosion. Have a voice, inspire others with creative explosion. Why be predictable like an underground water pipe? Strive to be different, not the everyday type. So off he went, leaving the humans behind, travelling the road of life, excited by what he might find. Inspiring, desiring, seeking, searching, looking, learning, laughing, loving, walking, talking, listening. Life's journey never ends. The Copper Man continues to make friends. One day you might meet him, and he might meet you. What will you tell him? What will you do? Good stuff indeed. Okay, and the next one is... I haven't done anything with this one. It goes by the title of The Rambler and the Robin. Just a different format to what I... A different format to what I normally sort of do. A different sort of rhyming sequence. See if you can sort of guess it. Does it work? I don't know. You'll have to decide. It's called The Rambler and the Robin. A robin sang a song whilst I was walking in the meadow, sitting on a fence for all round to hear. He really was very brave. A chirpy little fellow. Many ears always listen. He comes back every year. Sitting on a fence for all around to hear, the sparrows in the hedges and the woodpeckers in the trees. Many ears always listen, he comes back every year. He puts a pause on a rambler like me and the buzzing of the bees. The sparrows in the hedges and the woodpeckers in the trees, clouds sailed overhead across a sky of blue. He puts a pause on a rambler like me and the buzzing of the bees. Spring in abundance, a life anew. Clouds sailed overhead across a sky of blue. He really was very brave, a chirpy little fellow. Spring in abundance, life anew. A robin sang a song whilst I was walking in the meadow. See what we've done there. I just sort of tried to... mix. I think that I'll be honest with you, I've just eludes me. It's a quite an unusual I'll tell you on the next episode. It's a quite an unusual format where you do use the same lines. You sort of put them, might be line one, might move to line three and such like, and you do have repeat lines obviously in a different verse. And I once penned a poem called I hope my sunflower will grow. Quite a different one. So right, let's get down to business. This is Singles Club. I do like writing short stories, and I think they're really, it's good practice. I just love I think short stories can be adapted into plays, you know, short dramas and plays. You can play around with characters, you know, move it up into a novel and do all sorts with them. And it's good to I love putting collections together. you know, short stories of on a similar theme, or just, well, you can go anywhere you want to do. This is from a collection called, again, from like Some Flowers for Laura, taken from Rip Skillion Tales, which is still available. Get in touch if you want a copy. It's called Singles Club. A little bit of language in here, but I'm sure you lovely people won't mind. And it goes like this. One big fat geek. And that's how I saw myself. From the age of 10, I'd always been fat. I blamed my mother. Eat your food, John. There's a good boy, John. Would you like some pudding now, John? I've got some chocolates for later, John, and we'll share them. Those words of hers repeated in my head constantly. I'd never met my dad. Only seen a few photographs. He doesn't look fat. In fact, he looks pretty cool. He looks like a rock star from the 70s. I bet he had plenty of women chasing him and he never struggled for a shag. They were never married. They didn't even live together. Mind you, I'm not surprised. Mother tells me it was pure love for just one night. It happened in my dad's room above the Red Lion. He'd taken Mother back there after she'd been to see him sing with his band. There were a few photographs lying around, and I suppose she didn't look that bad. Mind you, she was a lot thinner then. Only a few mates came round to tea after school. The football team was a non-starter, and girlfriends were just a part of my imagination. A job at Woolworths followed 5 GCSEs, and I enrolled at college to study computer programming and business management. The first time I plucked up any sort of courage to walk into a pub and order my first pint ended in disaster. 2 lads in the year above me at school smacked me in the mouth and kicked one of my shoes whilst I was in the toilet. I even got chased through the bus station by a group of girls who had constantly teased me at school. But then one Christmas, things changed. Coming in the new year. Singles Club, it read. Singles Club? Well, what's that? I asked myself these questions. And after several minutes, gawping through the window, I found out. Oh, excellent, a singles club. Glancing to my right, I listened as the large lady continued. What a wonderful idea, young man. A chance to meet new people, and who knows, maybe have a little romance. Before I knew it, a second lady had joined the first, and both indulged in conversation. The 6:45 bus was due. So I came away from my new discovery. Getting home, Mother greeted me in the usual manner. Tomorrow would be Christmas Eve, and me and Mother would share it in the same way we had always done. By the time December the 29th came, I was bloated with turkey and chocolate Brazil nuts. A trip into the city reignited my encounter with Singles Club. January the 3rd was the official opening date, and something inside my head told me I would be there. Mother didn't mind. I told her not to wait up, but knew she would. The bus journey seemed quicker than usual, but then it didn't stop at every bus stop at that time of night. Money was short until the masses received their next pay packet and the city was only half alive. Only the lonely were out. Only the saddos. Only the singletons. On the third time I passed the club, I made a decision to actually enter on the fifth. How shall I enter? Shall I make eye contact with people? What drink shall I order? Oh, it's just too many questions. About a dozen or so people were inside, the large fat lady and a friend were there. Two young lads who were probably there for a laugh. And an old man whose clothes looked fashionable when the Titanic sank. The rest were just everyday, sad, lonely people, just like me. So there I was, a half pint of bitter ordered, no eye contact made, and I'd entered on my own 2 feet. Other people came, small, large, thin, old and young, but all single. With no introduction, a slim woman in her 50s rose and began to speak. Her name was Mrs. West. I found her quite attractive, but wasn't too keen on her heavy makeup and imitation posh voice. We all listened, some intently, others only half interested. Some had obviously done this sort of thing before, and they started to talk amongst themselves about their past experiences. It turns out that Mrs. West had been married 3 times, each husband giving her a handsome settlement. Already, she seemed to be eyeing up various people seated. She wanted to bring people together. Singles Club would be every Tuesday, with a big party night every 5th Saturday. Things started to bore me. I wished I'd never bothered to turn up. Mrs. West continued. It was like listening to our old headmistress. Salsa classes were also on the menu, with Greek nights and poetry readings. A second half beckoned, so I decided I might leave. My mind struggled. The bitter tasted good as I stood nervously at the bar, wondering how I was going to sit back down again without going bright red when all eyes focused on me. At that moment, I wished and beat myself up over the fact that I hadn't left after my first drink. But then, life changed forever. A voice came first, seductive. As I turned to look, my eyes absorbed her. Everything about her was perfect, even her name. Evelyn Mangle. Evelyn Mangle was no ordinary woman, no. And that's a fact. She could speak 3 different languages and had an A-level in history. But best of all, she spoke to me. She spoke to me first. Can I join you in a glass of red? That was the beginning of a long and fruitful relationship. After the initial stares and whispers, things settled down. Conversations seemed to flow, and soon the event was over. The cool air engulfed me, and as I spoke, I was even enchanted by the breath which exhaled at her every word. She gently touched my arm and said she couldn't wait until next time. Weeks passed, then a month. Our friendship blossomed and confidence grew. Evelyn remarkably resembled a young Sarah Jane Smith, who was a former Doctor Who companion. Well, for me, this was fantastic because I was a very keen Whovian. It became even more fantastic and surreal when I received my first blowjob. I couldn't believe it, and in the ladies' toilets too. I went to the gents, came out, Evelyn grabbed me, smiled, and then pushed me into the opposite room. A lot of strange and exciting things happened after that. At the singles club, to begin with, and mostly in between group discussions. Then things progressed. I started to feel good about myself for once, and I saw I should at nearly 20. A change in diet, a little jogging, and 2 stone gone. Just like that. Clothes changed too, along with a haircut and a little bit of gel. Evelyn came for tea and Mother seemed to like her, although she did strip down to her underwear whilst Mother washed up and only managed to fasten her blouse just as my only parent reappeared with tea and biscuits. The singles club became extremely enjoyable. Drinks flowed along with good conversation. College became a pleasure and good results followed. I had a whole different outlook on life, and I think people did towards me. Evelyn Mangle worked at the local library, and sometimes we'd meet there and have lunch at the adjacent cafe. 2.5 months had passed, and Evelyn invited me to her flat. I knew what would happen. That's why I'd postponed it for so long. I just wanted to be ready, feel good about myself, and feel comfortable. Sex for the first time. Wow. And with Evelyn Mangle, everything was just perfect. Drinks, a slow cigarette, a little jazz, and all within the confines of her bohemian one-bedroom flat. Laughter, kisses, and a little teasing all led to the bedroom. Candles flickered slowly and clothing was removed at the same pace. The pleasures of the female species were revealed between the sheets and they left me with a thirst for more. How I loved life. Singing, whistling and posing in front of the mirror all became rituals within the bathroom. I had a fantastic sense of well-being and strutted to the bus stop each morning. The singles club continued, bringing entertainment and good friendships from its members. Drinks were bought and drunk, jokes told, and a few closer relationships formed between others. I owed so much to the singles club. We were now very comfortable with each other. We'd invented silly words for each other, codes that only we could decipher. I also stayed at the flat at least a couple of nights every week. Cooking had also become a big part of my life. It seemed to come as second nature to me now. Indian, Chinese, Portuguese and a little African. The recipes came from books, of course, and were thoroughly enjoyed. June and the longest day approached. Christmas and the New Year were long gone. Warm weather greeted each morning, and for the first time, I actually felt good wearing t-shirts. A continuation with the diet, along with the jogging, had left me a slender 11.5 stone. 5 stone lost. My sexual appetite never seemed to be quenched, but was always satisfied by Evelyn. She always found new ways to tease and never failed to excite. It was a humid, cloudless midsummer's day and Evelyn wasn't working. She'd asked me to come over from 11 onwards. We'd probably share a cigarette, then bed, followed by a light lunch. Oh, that's what I thought. The door was open and candles scented the air and the Viennese waltz played on an old gramophone which sat in the corner. As I called out several times, my foot pushed open the bedroom door. There she stood, Evelyn, dressed in a black see-through robe. Her voice sounded different when she spoke my name. As my hand touched her shoulder, the young Miss Mangle turned to face me. A mixture of red and black swirled within her eyes. Her skin was paler, tinted with purple veins, and sharp black talons stood proud on her finger ends. As the robe fell to the floor, not a single sound escaped me. She spoke, and I listened. I've always loved this music. It brings back fond memories. And with that, she kissed me. I seemed to fall into a trance, and then before long, I lay naked on the bed. Wild, savage lust followed, like nothing I'd experienced before. And then we lay together, sharing a bottle of wine. What just happened to me? It seemed a strange but obvious question to ask. We are one now. We will never be apart. What do you mean? My body started to spasm and words faded to silence as I was unable to speak. It felt as if I was burning up inside. Writhing on the floor, new sensations rushed through my body, boiling through my veins. Talons grew on my hands and feet. My vision and sense of smell increased 50-fold. But the weirdest thing or things appeared on my back. Two wings! I couldn't believe it. They weren't feathered like birds. They were more like a pterodactyl. Evelyn flung open the windows leading to the veranda and I welcomed the slightly cooler night air. As if by instinct, my wings flapped and I took to the sky, rising above buildings and the fast-paced world below. The adrenaline rush was like nothing I'd experienced before. A clear sky allowed for full vision as I soared higher and higher. Cars scurried like rodents with torches and I could smell the various offerings of the takeaways. But I could also smell something else. The smell of humans. Each person had a different scent. It's been a year since my first flight. Another midsummer's day and another fine bottle of wine. The city looks great from up here. On the rooftop. Evelyn will be home soon and I can't wait. My life, if that's what you could call it, has changed forever. I suppose it would when you become a demon. It felt quite strange at first and a bit difficult to accept. But you get used to it. You see, Evelyn has been around since the 1920s. And one night, a master demon chose her. That's what they do to keep the bloodline alive. Choose females. And after that, the female has to travel the earth in search of her perfect partner. Some search for just days, others decades. You see, it all depends on the scent of the human. And then the female turns the chosen male into a demon. Apparently, there are lots of demons out there, but I've only met a few. I'm the black-winged variety and prefer to hunt at night. And that's what I have to do now. Hunt. If the smell is delicious, then sadly we have to feast on the flesh. Ah, scent of the flesh. I still like a good curry or fish and chips, but they don't always agree with me now. Evelyn always laughs when I'm in the loo and shouts, "I told you so." We can't have babies. So it saves on the condoms. But all that can change if a master is slain or just decides to die. You see, when something like that happens, one of the couples will have a baby and we all move up the pecking order. Another downside is a constant moving and I don't get to see mother that often. After a certain number of feasts and the fact that we don't age, it's time to up sticks. Tonight should be most enjoyable as me and Evelyn have encountered some very delectable people all week. Who would have thought it? Me, the geeky fat boy, teased and ridiculed and destined to become one of life's eternal virgins, was destined to become a powerful demon, and all because I smelt just right. I'm so glad I didn't smell bad. And I'm so glad that Evelyn waited until I'd slimmed down and looked this great. I couldn't begin to understand how I'd feel if I had to spend my new, wonderful life looking like I did. But that's just Evelyn Mangle for you. Loving, caring, thoughtful and kind. Life is full of surprises. You just never know what's waiting around the corner. And now, well, it's a demon's life for me. It's not a bad one. We get to travel, meet different people, and I've managed to master the flying part. I suppose in some ways, we're doing the human race a favour. As a platter can be a gobby, sort of gobby wannabe gangster, an obnoxious drunk, the odd traffic warden, or even a politician. I must apologise if you're a delightful breathing banquet. It's just that your body has its own unique scent, and a demon like myself will relish the feeling of devouring a helpless soul. Nowadays, most people live to be 70 plus. I'll probably live to be 700 plus. And it's all down to the young woman I met, Evelyn Mangle, demon in disguise, who decided to come along to the singles club. And that is it. I do hope that you enjoyed this episode. I hope you enjoyed Singles Club and the little bit of poetry at the beginning. As I always say, if you want to find out a little bit more about me, get to the website daviddriverauthor.com. And as usual, I will be speaking to you on the next episode. Goodbye for now.